back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. Terry of the North Woods, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Terry?
Yeah, Matt, good morning. Could you clear that up on gerrymandering in that John Lewis voting rights bill in Congress? Would that eliminate the gerrymandering and help us out for the next 10 years so we're not stuck in this Republican rut we're in?
Okay, there's two bills. John Lewis bill is separate from H.R. 1 and SB 1. House Resolution 1 and 7 and Senate Bill 1 did get rid of partisan gerrymandering, and it did a lot of other things. It standardized and federalized federal elections, and the states, you know, they talk state rights and all this kind of stuff. The states have no business in having these disparate kind of idiosyncratic rules all over the state to disenfranchise people on a presidential election. So the real key is H.R. 1, SB 1. The John Lewis Voting Rights Act is much more modest in scope, and it's named after John Lewis because he spent his entire life fighting for the right to vote, and he's one of the giants of the Congress. So what that does is, remember, there was a Voting Rights Act that was passed in 1965, and it was fueled after John F. Kennedy was assassinated. There was an outpouring of support for civil rights, and one of them was the Voting Rights Act. And the Voting Rights Act in 1965 provided that there have been so many attacks on voting, especially in the southern states, that a number of states were carved out. Because you got to remember something. If you were a black person and went to vote in Mississippi in 1959 or 60, they might say, recite the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. If you got one word wrong, you couldn't vote. Well, you know, I couldn't recite them all. I know what they are, but I couldn't recite them all verbatim. Then they had poll taxes. You have to pay $100 to vote. Well, a lot of poor people couldn't vote. It took a constitutional amendment. And I don't know why the U.S. Supreme Court couldn't just have set that aside on due process grounds, on constitutional grounds. But the repeal of a poll tax took a U.S. constitutional amendment. Okay. So 1965, what the Voting Rights Act did and what the John Lewis bill kind of restores, it provided that before certain named states, largely southern states, made any changes to the voting procedures that had been imposed on them back then, it had to get the approval of the Justice Department. You know, so good luck. You know, you go to Bobby Kennedy's Justice Department or you go to anybody's Justice Department, and they're not going to lightly do that. That went on till about 10 years ago. Then there was U.S. Supreme Court, this Republican Supreme Court on its own overturned it. Who the hell do they think they are? This was a congressional dictate that had served us well from 1965 till 10 years ago, you know, 45 years. Well, we don't need it anymore, they said. We don't need it. Everybody's modern. Baloney. The minute they repealed it, they overturned it, what ended up happening was all of these restrictive things started coming in again. What's going on in Georgia and Texas and everywhere else was exactly the stuff that happened in the South before John F. Kennedy was elected president. I mean, that's really what's going on. So the Voting Rights bill, the Lewis bill, will essentially restore the Voting Rights Act, taking into account whatever objections the Supreme Court had, and make the Department of Justice approve any changes. Now, what Lewis said, and I think is brilliant, is he said, why not, you know, why stigmatize just southern states? Why not make it all state? Why shouldn't Voss and Gableman have to jump through the same hoops? They're just as bad. It's just as corrupt a system as it was in the South before John F. Kennedy, the way they're going, the way Gableman's going around the state and everybody's lying and throwing shade on our elections. And I think that's right. You know, if New York wants to change it, or California, Mississippi, or Alabama, what the heck? So what unfortunately they're trying to do now is get Manchin and Sinema to go along with the Voting Rights Act, the John Lewis bill, or the John Lewis bill, I should say, which is not as good. No, it isn't. It doesn't get rid of partisan gerrymandering. And it's not as good as H.R. 1, S.B. 1, but it's something. It's something. Now, people try to put in partisan gerrymandering. Theoretically, the Justice Department could put in some kind of an objection, but not really. And it's really a kind of a halfway measure. And here's the clincher. And this slays me. It absolutely slays me. Manchin and Sinema say they won't set aside the filibuster even for the John Lewis bill. Oh, we need bipartisanship. We need 10 Republicans. Good luck. What 10 do you think you're going to get? What 10 do you think you're going to get? And here's the deal. All of these restrictive voting laws were not bipartisan. They were put in by gerrymandered legislatures or by, you know, one or two votes. So why should it take a supermajority that's bipartisan to set aside something that itself was very partisan? Manchin and Sinema are not in good faith, but that's where it stands. And now Biden is going to put the hammer down. Let's see what happens. But my fingers are crossed. I really want H.R. 1 and S.B. 1. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good morning, Matt. Happy holidays to you. I certainly hope Manchin and Sinema do something, at least with the voting bill. You can't, you're going to have to do it on your own. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. I mean, it's the least they can do. And if they can't even do that, then that'll, as far as I'm concerned, that's just, they aren't Democrats then. Because the voter bill, even if it's watered down, is certainly better than not doing anything at all. And my fingers are crossed also, because that's very, very important to have fairness, to end gerrymandering, which I think will go a long way in fixing what's wrong in this country, to have fair districts. Then Republicans can just go, well, we're not going to do anything, because they know their district is theirs, no matter what happens. The worst thing that can happen to a Republican is somebody from the right primaries them. So it won't get better, it'll actually get worse. So that's my speech for this morning. Manchin and Sinema, please get on board. If for nothing else, at least fair voting. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. You know, I agree with you, except here's my read on Manchin and Sinema. They're in bad faith and they're sneaky and you can't trust them. I don't trust them. I think what's going to happen, if you want my prediction, you're going to look at the Senate races this coming fall, okay? If we pick up two seats and we have 52 seats, then we can lose Manchin and Sinema and still get Kamala Harris to come in and break the tie. But if we do not get two extra seats, because we are in effect treating Manchin and Sinema tactically as Republicans on voting rights, tactically as Republicans. So if they get reelected, if they're in there, and if we are still at 50-50, they're not going to do anything. And the sad thing is, they're doing this for their donors. Their donors do not want free elections. Their donors do not want free elections, the energy companies and the pharmaceutical companies. And they, free elections, H.R. 1, S.B. 1 poll very popular in both states, Arizona and West Virginia. They are simply ignoring their own constituents. We have to have our own little supermajority of two extra people, three extra people. And that's why these Senate races are so important. Thanks for calling, Paul. We're going to a break. Lines still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.